Our gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, and it is the parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "Well, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 900 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, you use worldly worth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly worth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Lord, let us hear your word and let them move us into action.
John Humphreys wrote when reflecting on our Bible reading this morning, "Christ, what are we to do with your teaching? What can you mean with stories like the parable of the dishonest manager? Why does dishonesty seem to be praised? Why does it seem to make it praiseworthy to induce others to be culpable in cheating? How do you seem to be calling us to self-interest at the cost of others? We obviously cannot take it literally. We comprehend the exhortation to reject greed for wealth, even if we too often fall to live it and love it. Your kingdom and communion is amongst and within us. The world can and should be different and better. Wealth should have no meaning for us other than to be a tool for righting injustice and a power to dismantle the systems which result in people being poor. But let us not dodge the reality that we don't fully comprehend your way. Let us continue to struggle to work at what you mean for us, not settling for easy answers or convenient or comforting interpretation. Let us not be surprised that your teaching is shocking and jarring, unsettling us from our status quo. Keep making it hard for us, Christ, that we might grow in faith and be found in your way of the cross, as true disciples of difference, being agents of your compassion and communion. So may it be. Amen. I read that and thought, how can we be agents of difference, compassion and communion? Perhaps we have to start by thinking about what we want to change. We can't be agents of difference if we don't know what difference we want to make. My list actually got quite long. I wonder if your list would contain some of the same items. Everyone's list will be framed from their own life experience, and so too is mine. Some of you may remember that 6 months ago, this gorgeous little boy down here was born. Our grandson is the light of our eyes, but with his birth has come some challenges. We have experienced depression, we've experienced bad health, we've experienced times that have just seemed too hard, and it has turned joy to anxiety at times, love to uncertainty, life to a heavy burden. Family means everything to me, and to see my family suffering has left me asking why. Why us? Why me? Why my family? So how can I make a difference? Similarly, in recent weeks, COVID has again descended on our family, especially the young ones, our six-month-old and our three-year-old. Both have been very ill. The illness, the isolation, the sense of helplessness, and the fear of the unknown fill every moment of your day and change your life experience. Mum, he's coughing. What do I do? Mum, do I need to take him to hospital now? Questions grandparents don't like being asked. Do you feel like the leper or the bleeding woman or Lazarus begging for his child to be healed when you pray to God and it leaves one at the feet of Jesus seeking and begging for help? I want to encourage sustainable living and make sustainable lifestyle changes on an individual level. This is also on my list. The season of creation is a wonderful time to reflect on how our lifestyles affect the environment and to make a commitment to a more sustainable way of living. The good news is that making more sustainable lifestyle choices in just a few areas add up to a big difference overall. As the saying goes, let us live simply so that others may simply live. Living simply is a way to ensure our planet is truly a home for all. Can we make sustainable changes at an institutional level? These changes can have a huge impact in resulting tangible reductions in negative environmental impacts. I know that here at Moriarta, we've conducted an energy audit of our church facilities to look at key areas such as heating, lighting, ventilation and insulation to seek opportunities for our footprint reduction. But is it time for further reduction? Do we need to conduct an audit of our own homes? Many church networks now have platforms to support families, churches and congregations. There is an eco-church site that you can go to, the Change for Our Planet and Care for People initiative, which has videos, stories and ways and lists that you can do that. How can we make a difference? How can we live lives that are truly a reflection of what we believe? Can we make sustainable changes to our attitudes rather than one of a quick fix mentality? Let's start with our children, the love of my life. Having worked in schools for 50 years, I want to change our perception of learning and play. I want the focus to be on play, the importance of play. I want my grandchildren and all children to experience a childhood of self-directed and open-ended play. In some countries, children are working at 7 years old. They go to work every day. They go to dumps and collect rubbish. And from that rubbish, they make a living. Think about your 7-year-olds. I want children all over the world to be able to experience a childhood of self-directed and open-ended play, of safety, of trees, of flowers and gardens, of freshly picked fruit and vegetables. Do children need the latest expensive toy or gadget? I want there to be playgrounds and open spaces where my children and grandchildren can explore nature, get dirty and make mud pies if they want to. I want to grow a generation of people who value the outdoors, growing and sharing what the earth produces, to know and care where and how our food is produced. Have you seen the joy in a young person's face when they pick their first carrot or eat their first tomato off of a bush? What a joy. What can we all do? I am encouraged by the many opportunities that are given to reuse, renew, gift and share the plentiful bounty that we all have. I have loved the informal sharing of fruit and vegetables each Sunday morning here at Moriata. How can we extend our sharing? When I have too many lemons, I place them in a basket on my front wall, which has a notice that says, "Please help yourself." Last week, as the day was sunny, I sorted some of my books and added them to the basket. Not all were taken, but some were. A small step that could make a change to our consumer-driven society. What could we do here, and what could you do wherever you are worshipping and whenever you are worshipping? You might have noticed the care and share table I've popped in the foyer for today. I put some parsley. I love growing parsley because you get so much of it, and it's lovely to share bunches of. I put some books that I've finished that I enjoyed, and I hope someone else enjoys, and some wool, because I don't know about you, but when I buy wool, I always buy too much. So it's lovely to be able to share some of the wool that's left, and maybe you'll be able to make something with it. What can you take? Take whatever you like. What can you bring? Whatever you can. What can you share? Perhaps you could share this initiative with your community. As you can see, my list is diverse, and I haven't even really started yet. But where is faith in this list of wants? Is it like a prayer list of requests that shows no respect or gratitude for what we already have? I believe that this parable says, stop. Look at what you already have. Are you grateful? Why do you want more? Are you paying a reasonable price? Do you care for what you already have? Are you grateful? Are you sharing what you have? Do you only take or consume what you need? Do you care for others who through no fault of their own have nothing? We consume the earth's resources, water, electricity, gas, oil, housing, clothing, food, open spaces, bushland, clean air. Perhaps we could ask ourselves these questions. Do I have enough? Do I waste it? Do I care for it? Am I grateful for it? Do I use my fair share? Do I give to others who have none? And do I give thanks to God? God, our Creator. Where does money come into your decision making? How do we apportion our financial resources? What determines our decisions at home, at church, at government level? I've started the list. What would you add? Are you listening to creation? Roy T. Bennett said, listening with curiosity, speak with honesty, and act with integrity. The greatest problem with communication is we don't listen to understand. We listen to reply. When we listen with curiosity, we don't listen with intent to reply. We listen for what's behind the words. We need to listen, reflect, and then act. The charter text for Christian listening might be James 1:19. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's simple enough in principle and often nearly impossible to live. Too often we are slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. The ministry of listening in Bonhoeffer's book helps me to learn to listen. A good listener is patient and does not listen to speak, but truly listens. Just as we listen to God's word without interruption, so too we can show love by listening to others. God wants more of the Christian than just good listening, but not less. There will be days when the most important ministry we can do is just to listen. I am grateful for those who have listened to me and hopeful that I would have listened to others with a loving and caring heart. As Bonhoeffer writes, we should listen with the ears of God that we may speak the word of God. We should listen with the ears of God that we may speak the word of God. Are you listening to creation? Are you listening with the ears of God? Are you walking with your God on difficult days as well as the easy days? Our Bible reading today ended with, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Who will you serve in your daily living? What path will your life reflect? I don't say it's easy, and I often fall off the path that feels more like a mountain than a leisurely walk, but perhaps our mantra can be, "I will try, I will try, and I will leave the world a better place." I'd like to finish with the two verses of the storybook that I just read. "I'll go down to the shore in the gold evening light and climb back on my boat, sail off in the night, while the skies turn to dark and the stars shine so bright, and I'll wish for a world where what's wrong is put right. And then in the morning I'll wake with the sun. My dream won't be over, my dream's just begun. A dream full of goodness and laughter and fun, for me, for the world, for everyone."